The first reading for the Ascension of our Lord is from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, Thus as it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the first reading. Back in May 6th of 2023, millions of people gathered around TV sets or were in person for the coronation of King Charles III. It took place in Westminster Abbey, and all the king's men and all the king's horses were there at their very best. The music played at the coronation was fabulous. They had a world-class orchestra playing with a host of musical favorites with the Royal Opera House and the Royal House of Music. The concert was attended by cheering people numbering in the hundreds of thousands, and fireworks were on display. There were street parties and coronation lunches throughout England. The king's ring is composed of a sapphire with a ruby cross set in diamonds. It was made for the coronation of King William IV in 1831, and all the kings since Edward VII have used it at their coronations. The crown itself weighs 5 pounds. Just think about that one for a second. 5 pounds. I bet Charles had a sore neck at the end of that coronation. But it's a replica of the one that was made for Charles II. It contains 444 gems, including rubies, sapphires, garnets, and diamonds. Today we celebrate Ascension Day, and all the pageantry of King Charles III coronation cannot possibly compare to the coronation of Jesus in heaven. Of course, we cannot overstate the importance of Good Friday when he died or on Easter when he rose again, but his earthly ministry did not end with his ascension. Today it's done through us. After 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus continually taught the disciples and his followers about the kingdom of heaven. Then he's taken up into heaven, and we read that in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The cross and the empty tomb are the very heart of the gospel message, but all too often Ascension Day comes and passes as just the last Sunday of the Easter holidays. According to the Apostles' Creed, it says Jesus ascended into heaven and sits in the right hand of God the Father. He was taken up in a cloud. Yes, it's talking about sitting at the right hand of God the Father. When Stephen was being stoned by Paul, he looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. In Daniel 7, records the coronation. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing out and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the scroll was opened. Daniel continues to write, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. God the Father exalted Christ to stand at the right hand of him on his throne. But Jesus is enthroned as the Lord of all, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. From Hebrews chapter 2, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Since children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Want an idea of what heaven is? Look into the book of Revelations. Revelation contains the most descriptive verses that we have of what heaven is. Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 33, that he's going to go to a place where the disciples cannot go, but he will come again to take them with him. The place they could not go was the cross, because their death on the cross would not have saved all of humanity. We cannot separate the ascension from coronation, as it says in Revelation 5. The place, the throne of heaven. The time after his death, resurrection, and ascension. The setting is a magnificent throne and a very mysterious scroll. Around the throne are myriads of angels, glorious and awesome to behold. A bright rainbow encircles the throne. 24 elders wearing crowns of gold surround the throne, and flashes of lightning frame the one who is seated there. A sea of glass surrounds the throne. Everywhere there is singing, worship, and praise. But yet your eye darts from one detail to another. You notice four living creatures and wonder who they are and what they represent. There are angels on every hand. There are cherubim and seraphim and types of angels that we don't even know. Your eyes and ears can hardly take it all in. Holy, 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 cry the four living creatures. And then suddenly, spontaneously, gladly, you find yourself bowing down to the one who sits on the throne. You finally reached heaven. You are in God's presence. Nothing you ever heard, saw, or imagined in this world can compare with what heaven is. Jesus, who was killed, had triumphed over death. Only the victor could open up the scroll. Jesus had won the war. And at his second coming, he will cast Satan and his angels into the fiery pit of hell. Jesus takes an ownership of the world away from Satan and begins to enforce the values of his kingdom. Revelation 5:9-14 says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for our God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them say, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, and glory and power forever and ever.' And the four creatures all replied, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." With his death and resurrection, he assured our place in heaven. He secured forgiveness of sins, justification, which is a fancy church word for God declares us to be righteous because of what Christ did, and reconciliation with God, that the relationship between God and man had been restored. And he doesn't leave us alone. In each one of the lessons that was read previously, it says that the Holy Spirit will come upon the disciples and lead them in what they need to do. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to enable each Christian to imitate Jesus and display his characteristics in our daily life. His Spirit will help us each to remember his words and to be involved in convicting people of their sins so that they realize they need a Savior too. His Spirit will produce in us love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And on the last day, when he comes again, he will give us a glorious body to be like his. I personally look forward not to having the host of ills that I have or arthritis. Really looking forward to that new body. No arthritis, yes. But anyway, the coronation of Jesus means that God the Creator accepted his perfect life, his sacrifice, so that he will see us in his holy sight without any blemish. And we can sing with all the saints, "No guilt in me, no fear of death. This is the power of Christ in me. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell nor scheme of man can take me out of his hand till he returns and calls me home. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.